السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، ثم أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ أخذنا ميثاقكم ورفعنا فوقكم الطور خذوا ما آتيناكم بقوة واذكروا ما فيه لعلكم تتقون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، ثم أما بعد. Move up. Okay. So we are on ayah number 63 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the previous ayah, which we spent a couple of days on, spoke about the different kinds of groups that can make it to salvation. And now the Israelites are being reminded once again, وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِثَاقَكُمْ, when we took the covenant from you. Mithaq comes from wathaq in Arabic, which is a kind of promise that comes with a lot of responsibility. So you have different words in Arabic for taking promises and agreements. Aqd, ahd, these are all different words used for agreements and promises. But when Allah uses the word mithaq, it means when you take an agreement from someone and you give them a lot of responsibility and you make sure they understand that the role that they are taking is a very serious one. So not only did they agree to it, they also appreciate the gravity and the seriousness of the agreement that they're signing up for. That would be a mithaq. It's kind of like you getting a job interview and when you get the job, before they have you sign the paper, they give you like a 1 hour thing. Look, this is really serious. Your job requires this, 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 this. I hope you know what you're getting into, etc., etc. You're fully aware of what you're getting into. Then you get into it. This is mithaq. So Allah gives them this. He refers to it as mithaq. A full description of this ayah particularly comes up later on in Surah Al-A'raf. What is this mithaq and what are the details of this mithaq with Bani Israel, with the Israelites? That is mentioned in more explicit detail in Surah Al-A'raf. And this is another beautiful thing about Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-A'raf. A lot of things that are brief here are in a lot of detail in A'raf. And a lot of things that are brief in Surah Al-A'raf are in detail here in Surah Al-Baqarah. And this kind of relationship exists between many surahs in the Qur'an all over. Anyhow, when we took the covenant from you, that serious promise from you, and we elevated the Tur, the mountain of Tur, Tur is its name, above you. This huge mountain, we raised it particularly above you. This has been appreciated or understood in a couple of ways. The Arabic language is full of majaz. It's full of allegory and figurative kinds of speech. So to say a mountain was raised above you, it's kind of to say that one way it's understood is that the mountain was shaken. And you know how boulders start falling down from the mountain? So it looked like the mountain was coming on top of them. So that's the image being described, and the mountain was raised above you. Other scholars took this more literally and said literally the mountain was raised up off the ground and hovered above them when Allah took this covenant, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless, neither interpretation is qat'i, in other words, it's not absolute. And in the end, it doesn't change really the lessons that are embedded in the ayah. A lot of times, students of knowledge get caught up in details that Allah Himself does not emphasize in the Qur'an. You know, and we become overly obsessed with certain side points that become the point of very heavy, long, drawn-out discussion. And in the end, it's splitting hairs. It's not really the point that Allah Azza wa Jal makes. Just to give you a side point about that, for instance, when we study Surah Yusuf, so many people are mentioned in Surah Yusuf, right? There's Yusuf alayhi salam, there's his father, there's his brothers, there's of course the people he met in prison, there's the minister, minister's wife, there's so many characters. How many names are mentioned in Surah Yusuf? There's two names, Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub. His mother's not even mentioned, alayhi salam. On top of that, the brothers' names are not mentioned. Even Binyamin, who was in prison, even his name is not mentioned, not important. The king's name is not mentioned, the minister, his wife, no names. All these names you find in tafsir, if at all. And even then, it's like from the Israeliyat and things like that. But what are we learning in the Qur'an? Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want us to lose focus from the point. He's making a point, and you should pay attention to that. And the things that Allah, you know, omits, there's a wisdom in that too. There's a wisdom in that as well. So here, very briefly alluding to the Israelites, and keep in mind, we won't appreciate these ayat fully if we don't understand that the primary audience in these ayat is the Israelites. Ya Bani Israel, it began with them, addressing them. So Allah is talking to them. But then there's a very important question that should be answered when we understand these ayat properly. Allah is talking to the Israelites who are living in the time of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is several millennia after these incidents. the incident of the clouds following them, the incident of the manna and the salwa, the incident of the mountain being hovered above them and the covenant being taken from them, these are not in their own lifetime, this is way back. So how come Allah refers to them as, you did this, we gave you shade? Well, they're not the ones who got the shade, it's their forefathers. First of all, they take more pride than any other nation in being considered one continuity. They are one with their past, they are one with their legacy. And to this day, even though it's for shallow political reasons, they lay claim to the land that they lay claim to, saying that this is the land of our ancestors, therefore it's our land, we are one people. So what if we were away from here for a millennium? It doesn't matter, still our land, right? Because this tie to history is very important to them. Now Allah uses that bond they have with their historical legacy to make a point to them. And the point he's making here is, وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ, when we took the covenant from you, and we raised the mountain of Tur above you, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ, hold on to what we have given you with great might. These are the words of Allah when the mountain was hovered above them, right? Or it was collapsing, about to collapse on top of them. Why? Not to force them into accepting it. They've already accepted it. It's very important. We took the covenant from you, then we raised the mountain, and we told you, take it seriously. In other words, it was already proven that they had accepted the messenger, but they weren't taking him seriously. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, as an act of mercy from him, they call it nowadays the scared straight program. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to rattle them, he's going to scare them, so they get their act together. Nothing else seems to get them to fix their behavior, so perhaps this event, if nothing else will solve the problem, this should solve the problem. You know? So you know, Allah tells them, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَى, hold on to what we have given you with might. Now the other thing also that's kind of interesting in the imagery of the ayah is, when there's an earthquake, or something heavy is about to hit, or something like that, people grab onto something. Right? You want to grab onto something? Grab onto what we have given you, the book, that'll protect you. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَى. Then he says, وَذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ, very important. He gives them the formula for how do you hold on to it with great might. He says, وَذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ, and make mention of what is in it. Dhikr in Arabic is two things, to remember something and to mention something. So both of those apply here. Allah is telling the Israelites in regards to the book Allah gave them, the Torah, He's telling them, remember what's in it and mention what is in it. In other words, knowing what is in it is not enough. You have to remind yourself, repeat it, and you have to mention it to yourself and others. You have to actually out loud recite it to yourself and others. And this is exactly the tradition Allah gave us in the Qur'an. What do we do every time we make salah? We fulfill udhkuru ma fihi, reminding yourself and mentioning what is in it, what Allah has given us. He says at the end of all of this, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that all of you may attain taqwa. This taqwa has been understood once again in two ways. One, taqwa means to protect yourself. So Allah is saying you've gotten yourself in some pretty serious trouble. If you hold on to the book, you'll be able to protect yourself from my wrath. The other is taqwa in its universal meaning. You want to become people of taqwa because guidance is for people of taqwa. You want to get there, hold on to the book and remember it and make mention of what is in it repeatedly. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, then all of you turned back much after that, or even after that. Now when he says all of you turn back, there are two groups that are included. One is the immediate audience who had heard this covenant, and not too long after, they went back on the seriousness of this promise and they started playing games again. But then Allah is also talking to the Jews at the time of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's saying to them, look, you don't remember this history when I raised the mount above you and I told you to hold on to the book with great might, and now you're turning back after all of that? Even after that's been taken back from you? In other words, by them not accepting Allah's final messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a manifestation of them turning back from their own book. Because their own book says that He is the final messenger. That's the claim Allah is making. So even after that seriousness that I told you this matter has, you still have the audacity to turn back. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, then he says, فَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَكُنْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Now I'll roughly translate first. Had it not been for the preference, the favor of Allah upon you, and His mercy, you would have been from the losers for sure. That's what Allah is saying. You turn back even after that, had it not been for two things, Allah's favor and Allah's mercy, you would have been from those who are the losers. Now, what is the favor of Allah? The fadl of Allah to them originally was that Allah forgave their transgressions. And he kept giving them these preferences. And some comment actually that the coming of revelation and the being gifted with a messenger, that is the fadl of Allah. For example, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, when Allah talks about us receiving the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of that ayah, He says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the favor of Allah, He gives it to whoever He wants. The revelation of the Qur'an, over and over again in the Qur'an, Allah calls it Fadlullah. In other words, revelation is that preference, the favor. And of course, revelation means you get it through a messenger. So that messenger is part of the favor you got. The fact that you had Musa alayhi salam in your midst is the reason I kept giving you more leeway. I kept giving you more opportunities. But now Allah is telling the Israelites at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am giving you a huge favor. After all you've done, I am letting you live in the same lifetime as the final Messenger of Allah. That is a favor of Allah on you. Wa rahmatuhu, and it's a mercy on you. His mercy. And had it not been for that, لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, you would have been from the losers for sure. In other words, the only way for you not to be losers is to accept this messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, now Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that formula, then He gives them an example of that covenant. Remember, first He told them, I took the covenant from you, that serious promise. But that promise was made of many bullet points. So He's going to mention a couple of big ones that they remember very easily. Now, how do they know they remember that very easily? Allah tells us. He begins, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ الَّذِينَ اَعْتَدَوْ مِنْكُمْ. And for sure, you all already know the ones who transgressed, the ones who committed violations in the matter of the Sabbath. But Allah didn't just say you violated the Sabbath. He says, for sure, you already know. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ الَّذِينَ اَعْتَدَوْ مِنْكُمْ فِي السَّبْتِ. For sure, you already know the ones who violated in regards to the Sabbath. In other words, the story of violating the Sabbath is not uncommon to them. And Allah is saying, remember I told you to hold on to the covenant? Now let me remind you, have there been cases in your history that you learned as children even, as part of your education, you learned as children there were those who violated Allah's book, what happened to them? Let me give you a reminder. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ الَّذِينَ اَعْتَدَوْ مِنْكُمْ فِي السَّبْتِ فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Then we said to them, become rejected, cursed monkeys. You know, apes, turn into apes. We said to them. Now some take these ayat and say, look, we're anti-Semites and we call the Jews apes and things like that. Well, that's first of all ridiculous. Second of all, the history of this event is already in their books. And Allah made sure we know that it's in their books because He said, for sure, lam jawab al-qasam, I'm swearing that you already know what happened here. They know this already. And this is not even at the time of Musa alayhi salam. They know this history at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. So you already know what happened in the case of those people who violated the Sabbath. Again, the story will come in full details. How did they violate the Saturday, the Sabbath that Allah had told them to respect? That again is coming, you guessed it, Surah Al-A'raf. That's where it's going to come again in more detail. But here's just one thing I want to mention. Them turning into apes and monkeys has been interpreted in two ways. And again, either interpretation does not affect our aqidah. They're both valid interpretation. One says they were transformed on the inside and the outside. In other words, their minds became no different than the minds of apes. And what's the difference between a human being and an ape? An ape can also walk on twos, you know? And an ape can also, you know, it's not exactly the same, but similar features, right? The closest thing in the animal world to a human being is the ape. And even they talk about the scientific trying to prove their evolution or whatever. But we're not going down that road. But we are saying this. The difference between the ape and the human being is the human being has control over what he or she says or does. Has restrictions. The ape gets hungry, he grabs whatever comes in its way. The human being gets hungry and thinks, is this permissible or not? Did I pay for it or not? Is this healthy or not? That's the difference between a monkey and an animal and a human being. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, one curse on them where they became no different than apes. In other words, their sense of right and wrong disappeared. Might as well be animals. That's one. The other is even in their form, even in their physical appearance, Allah transformed them. And this is because they were by a river, right? Why? How do we know they were by the river? Because they violated the Sabbath in regards to the river. And people used to do trade in the river. So look at what Allah says, and we'll conclude with this. He says, فَجَعَلْنَاهَا نَكَالًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا وَمَا خَلْفَهَا. We made them a warning, like a case study warning. You look at that and you get deterred, you know, for who was in front of them, for all in front of them, and what was to come after them. What does that imply? People used to travel the highways of the old times or the rivers. So when people are passing by, they're seeing this town that used to be full of people, and now look at what chaos has ensued there. So they became sort of a terrifying warning for even people that would pass by. وَمَوْعِظَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And it would become a serious lesson and a serious sermon for people who had taqwa, because even among the Bani Israel, even among the Israelites, there were those who held on to taqwa, who tried to advise them and counsel them, and their counsel was not taken seriously. So this event served as counsel for them. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.